Blog Talk Radio.
What's good, everybody? Ringtime Pro Wrestling is back at it again. Keisha is going solo for this week. Not even for this week, just for this day, because later on this week, me and Keisha will have our normal show. I feel like we went too long without a show. Schedule conflicts change. This week, I had a change in the job, so didn't really get a chance to do things at our normal time, so we here, we live. I decided to turn on Blog Talk Radio because I haven't turned on Blog Talk Radio in a while, and I'm still working out the kinks of going live on Spreaker. So, hey, if you got this on Twitter, on Facebook, and you've seen it, it's not a mistake. You can call in at 323-443-7451. I'll talk. I really don't care. But if not, I got a format that I'm ready to go attack and do and approach those things as such. So without further ado, this is Ringtime Pro Wrestling. We are found a variety of ways. We are on Stitcher Radio, search Ringtime Pro Wrestling. We are on iTunes, search Ringtime Pro Wrestling. We are available on the TuneIn Radio app. We are also available on SoundCloud, YouTube, all under Ringtime Pro Wrestling. Well, YouTube, you may have to search my name, Keith Hope, to get to Ringtime Pro Wrestling, but we are there. So anyway, you want to listen via mobile device, via at your PC, I think we got almost every avenue covered. Podbay, if you come up with a podcast situation, I think we're there. If we're not there, we will get there. Just let us know. We have various social media platforms, Pinterest, we have a page. We are on StumbleUpon, we are on Tumblr, of course, Facebook, Ringtime Pro Wrestling. The fan page is finally reached that magical 100 likes mark. I'm very happy about that. Twitter, Ringtime Podcast. So without further ado, let's get into what we came to do. I'm not going to go into a full-scale Raw recap since it's been like a week. Tomorrow is a new Raw, right? So SmackDown has happened. We kind of know what the setup is. We're going into the fast lane. Fastlane will replace Hell in a Cell as that buffer pay-per-view between Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. Don't know what all is expected for Fastlane, but at least we know right off the bat we got Daniel Bryan, who will be taking on Roman Reigns for his spot in the WrestleMania main event, because I guess that's what people want to see, right? People were upset how the Royal Rumble rolled out, and they did not like the way that it ended. I think there's some booking that could have fixed that, but still came out with the same winner. Maybe if you adjusted who was the final four or final five in the Royal Rumble, as opposed to having Kane and people like that in your final five. Anyway, we get to Raw, and Triple H has an announcement, and, you know, he really didn't say that Roman Reigns had to give up his title shot, but somehow they kind of bamboozled him and, hey, you will defend your title shot at Fastlane against the winner of the Seth Rollins and Daniel Bryan match. Shenanigans ensued. The Authority got involved, and here we are. I think at Fastlane we'll have a similar situation where there'll be shenanigans and the Authority will get involved. But I think at the end of the day what's going to happen is Roman Reigns will – they're going to stick with their WrestleMania plan. I don't think they're changing anything. I think they're going to use the heat that they have with Bryan and try to find out a way to work with that and try to find a way to work with getting him something meaningful without actually putting him in the title match. I don't think they even trust him with the title at this point. Like, I think they feel like, hey, that injury kind of showed us maybe you ain't ready to be the man. Who knows? It's all kind of blurred lines right now, right? But we will find out sooner than later how all of that is going to play out. So let's get to that. Probably the most interesting thing I saw this week wasn't anything that happened in the actual ring. I don't think there – I mean, like this week, honestly, this wasn't a fulfilling week in the ring for in-ring product to me. For myself, I felt like the thing that was going on that was probably the most significant was the podcast. Triple H sat down with Stone Cold, and they held it on the WWE Network for free, if you guys had that and had a chance to see that. And I thought it was good business. I thought they sat down and explained some things. It was a real honest discussion, too. Like, they didn't try to keep kayfabe alive at all. Like, they really just sat down and had a real honest discussion about the business and about where it's going and what's going on. Some points that they hit in the pot that I thought was discussion of booking in the non-kayfabe era with fans who are smart, the internet, and what's going on behind the scenes. One thing I think that they didn't address is that, man, there's some leaky holes in the WWE. I think part of their problem is that too much stuff leaks out from inside. And I don't know if that's by design or if it's just somebody that's grown in the office. I'm just saying, at my job, I probably wouldn't be leaking out stuff public, or even just people who don't even work in my department, just because I'm disgruntled. But it looks like that's what's happening. Too many spoilers get out there. Too much is just absorbed for people to hate already before it could happen. And it's kind of weird. But they have to try to find a way to book. And he said something that I understood that most of the time is going on is that they're trying to please everybody. The WWE is the Walmart of wrestling, right? They got a bunch of stuff, and it's not for – I mean, it's pretty much you can find something that you would like, right? But it's not the definite store that you need to. Like, if you're looking for some specialized groceries, some specialized fruit, Walmart ain't the place to go, right? But if you just want an Apple, you could probably get it at Walmart. Same thing applies to electronics. If you just want to buy a random TV, yeah, you go to Walmart. But if you want the special top-of-the-line LG flat-screen HD experience, it's probably not the place to go, right? Speaking of which, I was at my parents' house this week. Man, I got to step my TV game up. I was sitting there watching that bad boy they got. I got to step my TV game up. But that's just something totally sad. But, yeah. Man, there's some TVs out there that just make you not even want to watch your own television no more, man. You think you got a nice TV, you go somebody else out, somebody, I don't even want to watch this no more. But I digress. I digress. They talk about Triple H's legacy and him being married to Stephanie. And one thing I thought, and something that made me – that guy might have one of the most underappreciated legacies of wrestling. I mean, a lot of people like to rail on the game, but, hey, that dude has done a lot for the business and held the business up a lot of times when guys were gone. You got to think about it. If you go through 2002 to 2004, he's probably one of the main players. Like, when they had a brand extension, Evolution and that storyline carries Raw. There's not, I mean, he's the guy. It all revolves around him. And they gave other guys shots, and other guys came in. There was Goldberg. There was Scott Steiner. You know, Benoit had his shot. You know, how that turned out. Well, that really didn't turn out. That's unfair. He did that 3 years later. But aside from all that, different guys had different stuff going on. And I mean, he held it down. Well, I thought SmackDown probably was a superior product then, don't get me wrong. I think that's, of course, I've written that's the golden era of SmackDown. But he was a flagship guy over there at Raw, right? But even if you can argue up to 2005, you know what I mean? Until Cena comes over to Raw, I mean, he carries that banner on his back hard. He was a guy. He was the third wheel in the Austin Rock era, but somebody had to be the bad guy because the fans was loving the Rock and Austin too much. Somebody had to be the bad guy. He stepped up and was a sufficient bad guy. I think the Triple H heel run of like 99 or 2000 might be some of his best work ever. I mean, that dude was absolutely despicable. So, like I said, I think he has an underappreciated legacy. I think he has done some matches that, let me tell you something. If I married the boss's daughter, some stuff I ain't doing, right? Like, and this is at any business. I'm sorry. Like, if my father-in-law owned a trash company, I'm probably, once I married a daughter, I'm done with dumping trash and being on the truck. That's my last day on the truck. I'm in the office. I'm good, right? And he didn't want to still be, he still wanted to be an active performer, but, yeah, I'll skip this Hell in a Cell. How about that Hell in a Cell be a number one contender match for my title? Not me being in the cell. He probably has done more Hell in a Cells than anybody, right? Who's been in more Elimination Chambers than Triple H? Probably nobody, right? I mean, these some really death-defying career-ending matches. Last Man Standing, Three Stages of Hell consist of pretty much him. I think he's one of the only people who've actually done the match. I mean, I can go down the line. He has really been in this that I don't think people really give him enough credit for. And like I said, being married to, being in the family, being a McMahon, I probably wouldn't have done it. So I think that that's one of those things that, like, you know, I think he has an underappreciated legacy. He discussed China going into the Hall of Fame. And he was blatantly honest. Does China deserve to go into the Hall of Fame? Yes, she does. Nobody discounts her in-ring accomplishments and her barrier breaking. I mean, first woman in the Royal Rumble, first woman to be number one contender for the world heavyweight title, even though that was like for a day, still she's no contender. The only woman to ever hold the Intercontinental Championship. I mean, there's some things that probably won't ever happen again, right? And she did win the women's title, but, I mean, that was like secondary. She never really wanted to be in the women's division. That was just something they gave her when they was trying to force her out. But I know there's bad blood between the family, but I think everybody's past that, right? Like, it's probably official to say that everybody, we all know how relationships go. People have bad blood. People are upset. But I think everybody is on opposite ends of that, right? Like, I don't think Steph feels threatened by China in the least bit at this point. She's married. She got three kids. She's in, right? Not really worried about it. What I will say is China's current activities probably will prohibit her from not ever getting into the Hall of Fame, but immediately right now getting in. Sorry. And Triple H said it best. Hey, his daughter is like 8 years old. And she says, wow, China, she's going to the Hall of Fame. She's a girl. Hey, why don't I check out China and Google it on the internet and see what comes up? First thing ain't coming up is wrestling, I tell you that. I will tell you that. Well, it may come up as wrestling, but you don't want to click on that link either. No, you don't. But that's the kind of thing that they battle with. And as a publicly traded company, which a lot of people forget WWE is, you cannot have that being representing you because there are a lot of people who don't know the story or the history or just don't care but don't want to be associated with that per se. You know, now I'm not trying to act like I'm above porn because I'm not. But what I'm saying is I understand how a publicly traded company could want to distance itself, right? I tell you right now, in Running Time Pro Wrestling, there are some things we would and probably wouldn't do with sponsorship-wise. Not because we're above it, per se, but because I think we don't necessarily want that to be the definite association of our brand as a brand that we would like to have kids be able to listen to the show. Understood. Also, that we may want you to be able to share with your children. Hence, we probably, if you listen to the earlier shows, we've cut back probably on a lot of the cursing that we do. Stuff still slips out, but I think, you know, you have to make adjustments in the world if you try to be a part of something bigger. That's all I'm saying. So I get it, and he testified to that too. While, that's probably why a lot of people aren't going to go in or not in the Hall of Fame. Owen Hart, there's legal reasons why he can't get in. The family, there's a divide. Not necessarily between the Hart family, but between his ex-wife, not ex-wife, but his widow, and the WWE, which is even called, I think, a divide between her and the rest of the Hart family. So, like, there, that's a thing right now. People like, well, Savage is finally in, right? There's other people who have things. Benoit. Benoit definitely has a career that's deserving of Hall of Fame, hands down. One of my favorite wrestlers of all time, in-ring. Actually met the guy once. I thought he was an awesome guy. But you know what? The way he ended his life trumps all of that. Can one mistake take away your entire? If it's that big, yeah, it can. Sorry. One act, because it's just not just one act. Actually, it was three acts. But the act was so malicious that, yes, it can take away your entire legacy. So those are reasons why certain guys cannot get in and may never get in. You know what I mean? Like, China has a shot to get in. Let's say she stopped doing the dirty movies today. As of February 8th, 2015, no more dirty movies. 15 years later, without ever doing another dirty movie, getting off the, you know, I don't know if she's still on, has any substance abuse issues, but she probably needs to distance herself away from that, considering she's still doing dirty movies. There's a correlation to say maybe she is still into the substance. I don't know. All speculation, so don't try to sue me. And maybe she could have a shot, right? Not that 15 years would erase what's on the internet, but what happens is I think time is very forgiving. Also, I think in 15 years from now, in the modern era, most of us will have so much crap on the internet that we regret, that people will be understanding of things that happened in the past on the internet that maybe you wish wasn't there. But now the people in charge can't understand why you got some nasty stuff on the internet. So, like I said, maybe in about 15 years, if she stopped today or in the next 2 or 3 years, 10 or 15 years from that point, that's a topic they could possibly revisit. But as of today, no, no way. That's why she ain't been back for any tribute shows. That's why she ain't been back for no reunions. There's nothing you can do with that, right? She went so far off the deep end. Like, early on when she left, when she was just doing, like, bad reality shows, it was different. But she's so far off the deep end now, it's like, woo-wee, no. Well, she just had the one tape, the tape with her and X-Pac, right? Because X-Pac been back, but she has probably had a lot more. You know what I mean? So it's not even, it's the fact that that's the predominant thing in her Google search now, is her getting filthy. But that's neither here nor there, right? So we're done with that. Now it's a lot earlier than we usually take the break, but I'm by myself, so I've done about as much talking as I would do in a normal show. So we'll hit the break, come back, let y'all recharge. I'll do the birthdays, I'll do the news. And the whole second half of the show is NXT. That's what it's all about, NXT. Last week's show, and basically we're previewing the NXT TakeOver pay-per-view. That's what we're here for. That's what I'm doing. So sit back, relax, enjoy, and
right here. Right here is symbolic of what it's all about. This is the world's heavyweight title. And when I say this, I mean it in all sincerity. The world's heavyweight title, held by Harley Race, not once but twice. Over half of my life devoted to what I do better than any other human being in wrestling. I am not going to allow any human being to insult me or this. And when I say that, I mean it in dead sincerity. When I walk in that ring, I'm walking in there as world's heavyweight champion. I'm walking in there to defend what I hold probably more close than any other man has ever held. This is my life. You've heard your Ric Flairs talk about being cock of the walk. You've heard your Thunderbolt Pattersons. You've heard them all, Ole Anderson. They all talk about being the man. Flair parades around saying that he is the ultimate man. Well, buddy, this is symbolic of being everything that any human being ever wanted to be. That man is Harley Race. And for one of those individuals that I've mentioned, or the various others, to beat me, then let them walk around and claim to be what they are. You're looking at the world's heavyweight champion, the man that can truthfully say that he can beat any man in the world.
Man, one of my favorite promos, the Harley Race promo to me is one of the greatest promos of all time, because he lays it down. He basically says, look, I'm the man, I got the belt, this is better than anything that any of y'all got, and it means I'm better than anything that's going on right now. And that's how wrestling should be. It should be about who has that gold belt. If you got that 10 pounds of gold, you are better than anybody else in the business. And everybody should be trying to get that 10 pounds of gold off your waist. You should be the number one target. You can have friends, but even they are prone to stab you in the back as a chance to get to that belt. Because that's what it's all about, right? That's what's going on in NXT right now. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are friends. Even though they've had rivalries, they've been in a ring together all over this world as El Generico and Kevin Steen. But now Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens have a mission. They both want to be NXT champion. Kevin Owens has only been there 2 months, well, debuted 2 months ago. And he's saying, look, hey, man, why I can't be the man right now? And why not, right? So let's get to that. Let's get to the birthdays. One of my favorite segments. I like to celebrate the birthdays that go on in the world of wrestling. We probably missed a lot because of our hiatus. But, hey, we're here now. It is February. It's Black History Month. It's the month of love. It's the month of President's Day. All kinds of other stuff, right? So today is February 8th. And birthdays in wrestling. So Sunday, February 8th, the Big Show celebrates a birthday. The Big Show is 42 today. 43, I'm sorry. It's 2015. It's 43 today. The late, great, classy Freddie Blassie would have been 97 today. Wow. Jenny Anvil Neidhart, one half of the Hart Foundation, father of Natalia Neidhart, celebrates his 59th birthday today. Wow, that's big. 59. The late, great, sensational Sherry Martel, birthday is today also. She shares the February 8th birthday. Like I said, a lot of birthdays. Loaded birthday day today. Sherry, had she been alive, would have been 57 today. So that's it for the birthdays. Let's get to this news. Basically, what's going on in the news and what's popping today. ROH wrestlers and management meet with Sinclair Broadcasting. Basically, what the deal is, Sinclair bought Ring of Honor in 2011. And when they bought Ring of Honor, they gave them a budget and said, this is how we're going to operate, and this is some of the things we're going to do, and you're going to operate on Sinclair stations. Well, they've been operating on that 2011 budget for 4 years now. And as you imagine, inflation has went up because things cost more. I mean, hey, we don't pay for nothing the same amount we paid in 2011. Hell, I don't even pay for podcasts and stuff that much. You know, the same prices. So things have went up. Things cost more. So ROH is saying, look, Sinclair, you got to kick in, man. Y'all got to pay some old ducats. I don't know how competitive, how much Sinclair wants to be competitive. But basically the proposal says, look, if you increase this budget out and out, we could be the number 2 wrestling promotion in the country. Right now we are probably a 3 and we're border. You know what I mean? But hey, We could be number two. We could be better than TNA. TNA right now don't even have a distribution model to be ahead of us. Because Destination America, although it's a national platform, it's not in enough homes. We could be in more homes. We're syndicated locally on network television. We can get in more homes than them, right? So what we got to do, we got to increase the budget. Also, increasing the budget probably could allow them to get a definite program slot that can syndicate them nationally somewhere. That maybe they could do something consistent, because I think that's one of the things that hurts them. It's kind of hard to track their ratings to keep up with them because they're on different times in different places. So if you're watching the show on Thursday in your market and I don't get it till Saturday in my market, we don't really get to converge on that meeting place. And social media is so important. I think it's changed television and made it definitely a destination spot where everybody wants to be in that one spot at one time. Everybody wants the live tweet and share that experience. So I think if they can get something where they can do that, I think it could catapult them up, especially considering they have a much better worldwide exposure, considering that they – talent does so much work in other promotions around the world, i.e. AAA, working over in Japan, in New Japan. They can get some stuff done. So that's something to look at. So I think Dave Meltzer originally reported this, but Sinclair probably going to try to keep ROH on a budget from what he's saying, but and then increase minimally as they go along. So, hey, they're expanding with the pay-per-view, so now that they're on real pay-per-view now, as those numbers keep trending up, I think Sinclair will be more inclined to do more for Ring of Honor. Also, what's in the news? Chael Sonnen been talking that stuff that WWE been contracting him about a contract. I mean, it's been said before, but WWE said, look, we ain't contacted Chael about nothing. Chael, we ain't inviting him to WrestleMania. We really don't care about Chael. So Chael just talking out the side of his neck. Could they have? Maybe, but not for the number that Chael be talking. Chael be throwing out some numbers that I don't. Just like when he said he fought Andrew Silva for $8 million. Maybe he did. I don't know. No, I'm sorry, John Bones Jones. I don't. Dana don't be spending that kind of money. So we'll see. Like I said, Chael be talking, right? So there's there. Want to work for Ring of Honor Wrestling. This is big news. Sinclair Broadcasting has advertised two jobs on a website for Ring of Honor. One is a marketing manager to help target new and existing audiences, manage to develop social media, pursue licensing deals, which are financially profitable. The second is an associate producer to help their live event television and pay-per-view production. Successful outfit will work along head ROH producer Don Bynum, and previously worked for world-class championship wrestling in WCW in the 80s and 90s. The jobs were advertised in mid-January, as reported 2 days ago by Dave Meltzer. So if you're interested in a job in wrestling, Ring of Honor is hiring. So that's a thing. For the people who are listening live, it's going to cut off in about 90 seconds. That's cool. Pick me back up on Stitcher, iTunes, or whatever. The show will go longer. This show will probably be about an hour. Blog Talk will allow me another 15 minutes to ramble. I'm probably going to need about 20 or 30. So be prepared to catch me on the back end. But this thing is ongoing and recording, and we're here. So, but that's cool, man. There are jobs available at Ring of Honor. NXT is going on the road. So that is a big thing. Be on the lookout for that. They're actually going to Ohio, Cleveland, March 6th, Friday. I guess they're going to be working along with some of the stuff from the WWE card, but Sami Zayn, Charlotte, Kevin Owens, Finn Balor, Hideo Tommy, Tyler Breeze, and more are advertised. The event tickets start low as $15. So they're probably not going to use that big of a venue. Triple H trying to take this thing on the road, which he said he was doing on the Austin podcast. He was going to take it on the road. So that's something to look out for. DDP is in the hospital. So fans, look out. Have your prayers and things. Apparently he's doing better. but he was hospitalized in the ICU unit with a throat issue from subglottal stenosis. But from what I've heard and other people have said, he's doing better. So keep your eyes open and prayers open for DDP, or, you know, good wishes, whatever you do out there in the world. So let's get to NXT. NXT this week, pretty good show. They had a solid show. It's amazing they got in. All they got in 1 hour. I'm a very big fan of the 1 hour wrestling show because it's what I grew up on. I think Raw can exist in 2 hours. Triple H said he wants to get it back to 2 hours. Don't know what that's going to take. But I love the 1 hour wrestling show, right? I think you get everything you need. Not too much time for frills. They get the matches in. They make them important. Carmella with the Jersey Boys came in. She fought Emma. We had two Divas matches in an hour-long show and still had enough time to round out a number one contender tournament. So basically, I'm just saying, they get the job done, right? And one thing, Triple H pays a lot of attention to the women. With him being NXT being his show, I know this is his call. But he pays a lot of attention to the women, which really good. I don't think some people, and that's probably why they're so technically sound down at NXT, and they're more Bobby girl in on the main roster. But Carmella defeats Emma. Neville took on Corbin in the semis. There was some interference from your boy Bull Dempsey that caused Neville the chance to win, but it still made Corbin look strong. But Neville goes on to the finals. They ran a little hype video for Zayn and Owens match, which they did like three hype videos through the course of the show, and it shows that you don't have to have a champion on every week. You don't even have to have a more contender on every week to get a match sold. You can keep selling a match with the video packages. You don't have to have them all there, overexposing them on the television every week. You can have them there without having them being there. And then they don't have to wrestle every week, which, you know, it makes it a thrill and a treat for you to get the pay-per-view. I digress. Bayley defeated Becky Lynch. She defeated Sasha Banks and interfered. Charlotte came out before faced off. They will all be in the Fatal 4-Way on Wednesday night, which what this show was all about. We had more promo. Main event match was the match of the night. Finn Balor versus Hideo Itami, semifinals for the number one contender slot. It's a match you wish they had more time, but with the time that they had, incredible. I didn't know who was going to win down to the end. There was a lot. There was nice twists and turns. Both of them very athletic guys, man. They brought Japan over here, and they are an example of if you let guys do what they do best and then just tweak it so it works for your situation, you can have a good thing, right? So they have it. The match goes in. There's a little technical difficulty, but at the end of the day, they got it out there, knocked it out the park, and then Balor wins. Balor will take on Adrian Neville at the NXT pay-per-view for the number one contender spot, which I think is going to be an incredible match. We have another video package hyping up the pay-per-view. So now, without further ado, NXT TakeOver on February 11th. It is free on the WWE Network, so get it this month. I think this is worth the price of admission. I would at least watch this, and then you can cancel the day after. I really don't care. But I'm telling you, you really need to see this. Baron Corbin versus Bull Dempsey in a no DQ match. Who do I have and why? Easy. It's Baron Corbin. I think he's beaten Dempsey 2 out of 3 times. There's no reason for Dempsey to get another win, right? Maybe Dempsey does get a win in some shenanigans, and they can continue this feud. But I think more or less, this is the final launcher pad to Corbin doing something big. So I probably would have Corbin going over, but who knows? They may have Dempsey going over so they can create some. It pretty much like this. If Corbin wins, it has to stop here, right? It has to stop here. Unless Dipsey's just going to be an annoying guy that always hangs around and keeps hanging around and keeps hanging around. But I don't think you want to do that because there's no – I think, to me, Corbin is a more pure prospect, right? Corbin is the guy that we're looking to get over to the main roster probably quicker than Dempsey. I like Dempsey, but I think physically imposing guy, Corbin is the guy that I'm looking at to go and help take this thing to the next level. Number one contender match is huge. Adrian Neville versus Finn Balor. Does Neville get his chance to challenge again for the world title? Or is it Baylor's time? This one is probably the most tricky match of the actual pay-per-view in the booking. Because I can make strong cases for both. I can see Neville getting one more shot at the title. He'll probably lose, but because nobody really wins these titles twice. I can see him getting one more shot at the title. Like, he worked his way through to get one more shot at the title. And that's what happened. Or Baylor gets that title shot, and this is Neville's last stand. After this, he leaves NXT, right? Or Neville wins this match, Zayn title match is his last stand, and he leaves NXT, right? Like, because I think this is a point where we start trying. Once the guy loses the belt and then has those rushes with trying to get back to the belt, I think that's the time when we start to get guys to leave NXT. I think that's what happened with Bo Dallas. Happened with Rollins. I think what happens is you lose that belt and then you start transitioning towards leaving NXT. So let's say Neville wins, just for fun. Let's say no, and it's kind of funny because before I start the show, I was clearly a Baylor guy, and I said Finn Balor is going to win this, and that's who's going to go on to take over and go on to win the number one contender match at and face Sami Zayn. But I think Neville has more history that boils out. And Owen still will be a factor. Blake and Murphy are the champs. They will face Lucha Dragons in a NXT Tag Team title rematch. I don't think the Dragons win the rematch. I think Blake and Murphy are the guys that's going forward. It's their time now. You know what I mean? Same way the Ascension lost the belts to the Lucha Dragons and couldn't get them back. That's their time now. Lucha Dragons, I don't know if they're going to the main roster yet. Well, it's going to be a while because I think they're going to bolster that division. But I think they're going to probably take the spot of Gold and Stardust because I think they're going to break up. And rumor is Gold Dust is going to not be in the mix after WrestleMania. So you can see where they're tearing apart now on the show. So either Lucha Dragons take their spot, or maybe they take Los Matadors' spot, but I think they are looking for a high-intensity, speedy tag team with some Lucha appeal to them to be in the tag team mix on the main roster. So I wouldn't be surprised if Lucha Dragons go probably in the next 2 months or so, go to the main roster. So, yeah, they will not win the tag team titles. Blake and Murphy will keep the tag team titles. Fatal 4-Way, Charlotte versus Bayley versus Sasha Banks versus Becky Lynch. This one's pretty easy, man. I think it's Sasha Banks' time. I think she is the diva that is next in line. Like, I think Charlotte has held on long enough, but I think now it's more of Charlotte's time to go to the main roster. So, it is what it is. And like I said, Charlotte, good as she's been, it's more of her time to move on. And she'll be going on to the main roster. And that'll be that. No harm, no foul. She moves along, and she will be. So Sasha Banks will be the one. I don't think it's Bayley. Bayley don't seem like world title material to me. Lynch does, but I think what happens is Sasha Banks wins. Lynch will be her number one contender and probably transition to a face turn, more than likely. And that will be the battle that will continue on for the rest of the year and permeate through and probably carry on through, you know, the next few months until they figure out something next. But Bayley might even transport to the main roster from this. But I don't see Bayley doing much. She just don't seem like a face of a division to me. I could be wrong, but she doesn't. But I've been wrong about other stuff. So fast, so quick, we're at the title match. Sami Zayn, champion, the guy who fought the long, hard road to get here to the title, will be taking on Kevin Owens. Excuse me for keep talking in indie jargon, but that's how I met him. That's how I know him. I know him as the lovable guy in ROH who caused a lot of trouble. Fight Steam Fight. Well, now it's Fight Owens Fight. Still has a lot of the same tendencies, right? Still is a bruiser, a brawler. They haven't made much change. Very athletic guy for his size. I see he has trimmed his look up a little bit for the WWE. So here's the thing. They're very happy with Owens. He has an incredible buzz in the fans. He's carried those fans over from ROH. One thing we could say about Owens. One thing we can say about Owens is he has intensity, and he brings over that intensity to his fans. So it'll be good to see him at this big venue getting his time to shine. So here we are with that. Boy, this sucks. But I'm excited to see how this all turns out with Owens. Do I think Owens wins? No. Zayn keeps the belt. Owens does not win his first title shot in NXT. Just not how that works. I think Owens will give Steen a fight. I said Owens will give Steen a fight. Oh, boy. I think Owens will give Zayn a fight his first match. I think they went for the title shot because they wanted to put something at stake. If it would have remained non-title, I would have said Owens wins the match. Of course, forcing another match between the two. But I think right now, Owens loses, or somehow the title doesn't change hands, is the best way to put that. Yeah, the best thing I can say, the title won't change hands. I think they like the steam that Owens is getting. And his merchandise is going through the roof from what I hear now to NXT. So they love that idea. So I don't think they're going to do anything to hurt him. But I think if he loses, it would be a very valiant effort. This might be in for match of the night along with the Neville Balor match. Both of them are going to compete for match of the night. And both of them are going to be worth price of admission. But I'm not guaranteeing that Sami Zayn walks out as champion. I'm just going to say that Sami Zayn, I'm guaranteeing he'll walk out as champion. I'm not guaranteeing he'll win the match. There could be a DQ. Owens could get a self-DQ for snapping. Who knows? But I don't think that he loses that match by going out there and just getting beat clean. And if he does get beat clean, it's going to be like a miracle. We don't know how he pulled it off. He hit some miracle maneuver towards the end, and then, because this thing has to continue. Beyond a number one contendership match. So best believe that those two guys will get into something, and we will definitely be happy to see what comes out of it. With that, that's pretty much the show.